the Upstate's home for Clemson men's and women's basketball. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
It's been a fun show today. Final hour of the program here with Faxon Childress, John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Love getting into the weeds with the hoops breakdowns in the first hour. Engagement's been great. Love disagreeing with some of the audience, to be candid. We don't have to share the same perspective and opinion on this, which is what makes this great. My job is to give my honest takeaways on the situation, my honest evaluations on the situation, and that is also Grayson Mann's job from TigerNet as a part of TigerNet Thursdays. And Grayson was in the building for the infamous press conference that has shaken the Southland here in Tigertown. Grayson, we'll bring you on that note, brother. It's good to hear from you, and appreciate you checking in via the phones this morning.
Yeah, I'm actually thankful I was able to make this trip due to my sister living in Carrollton. And I believe the rumor in town is your former guys at North Gwinnett are going to get run up by Carrollton in the semifinal tomorrow.
Oh, hey, chill. What? Why are we out here talking smack about high school football? Are you serious? Wow.
I was given the line facts, and I had to do it.
Oh, my gosh. We're coming in here with smoke. All right. Well, I will say it's not the Bill Stewart era anymore. It's not my ball coach. It's a new era. But I still got a lot of, close friends whose little brothers play on the team. I try and stay as connected as possible with my guys back down there in Gwinnett County. So I'm rooting for the Bulldogs tomorrow, man. And my guy Connor Coxwell, defensive end, he just committed to Kennesaw State yesterday. Hootie hoo. Shout out to my guy Connor. And I hope that he and the boys can get it done tomorrow. So we got a little rivalry brewing on our hands, Grayson. How about that?
Hey, how about that, man? Let's go.
All right, but let's hop right in here. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. And let's talk about yesterday with National Signing Day, okay? Grayson, half of the audience, I would say, on our text line, phone lines, etc., is really agrees with me, saying I wouldn't take 100% stake into what Dabo said yesterday as to he's not taking a portal quarterback. The other half of the fan base seems to think that there's no chance on God's green earth that a portal quarterback is coming to Clemson. And I hate to just throw a bomb at you to start the segment, but that's the talk of the town right now. How did you interpret Coach Sweeney's commentary yesterday? And what's your personal kind of opinion and perspective on this situation?
Yeah, listening to Sweeney's press conference, I think that for him, National Signing Day is very sacred. And for someone that has been very connected in terms of relationships and being about building through high school recruiting, I think the day was only meant to be about that, if that makes any sense to your audience. And so I know that this is a fan base that is out for blood, and understandably so, and wants new blood in the building. But I don't think yesterday Sweeney, as he's trying to get these kids to put the pen on the paper and sign the dotted line, I don't think he's going to start outlining his plans for, okay, now we're going to go get a quarterback. Hey, Tate and Brock, I know you just signed today, but we're going to go get a transfer quarterback. Hey, I know we just got X, Y, and Z here, but we're going to make these plans elsewhere. So I think that Sweeney's focus, certainly there's going to be some portal activity. There's going to be some activity within staff changes and sort of the moves across the country. But I don't think yesterday was meant to be about that. I know the fan base is wanting an answer after a disappointing season. I think eventually that will come, but I don't think yesterday was meant to be about that specifically.
Yeah, and that's kind of what my takeaway is as well, right, is you have two players that are coming in at this position on National Signing Day. You have two players that are currently on your roster, slated to be on your roster next year. Three, if you want to include Trent Pierman, I don't see what Dabo would have gained personally, Grayson, by going up there and saying, yeah, we're going to be in the transfer portal for a quarterback. Do you agree with that much, at least?
Yeah, and you would sort of, with his comments, he's got to kind of toe the line because, A, it's not guaranteed Clemson's going to get one, even if they pursue a quarterback in the portal. So you have to do this balancing act where this is the most, I think, shaky the position's ever been because there's so much uncertainty. There's not a guy coming in that you think is a bona fide starter. And so you have to keep the guys in the building like Christopher Vezina. He's a valuable asset this offseason, whether fans like to hear it or not, because he could be your starting quarterback if Clemson's portal pursuits, if there is one, fails. And so you have to keep the guys in the building happy. So for Sweeney to come out kind of with a heavyweight knockout punch saying, yeah, we're going for a portal quarterback, the guys in the building, we're just saying screw it, doesn't matter there, I think would be unwise. And so Sweeney made the right calculated move yesterday I know it's in the back of his mind. It has to be. But as in terms of Wednesday and National Signing Day, that was not Sweeney's MO.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. 654 Roar is the number if you get in, want to get in with questions for Grayson. Texter gets in and says, ask Grayson, please. The caliber of quarterback that Clemson fans want would cost $1.5 to $2 million. Would we not be better putting off that money towards adding depth at four or five positional players? I would rather we had 15 players in the portal with no QB than eight players with one QB. We can win with our current QBs if the other 21 positions improve with talent and depth. I think there's some truth to that. I don't know if the dollar signs there are 100% accurate because I don't know if anyone has an accurate gauge on what the dollar signs look like. But what are kind of your opinions on that? Like, what's your evaluation right now of the guys that Clemson has in the room being Christopher Vezina, Chris Denson, Trent Pierman, Brock Bradley, and Tate Reynolds?
Yeah, and I would say that in terms of success immediately, if you want to go and take a guy that can give you the best chance to win football games of the current four, I think Vezina has to be that guy. But if you're making maybe a long-term approach, let's just say, Faxon, that Clemson doesn't go in the portal for a quarterback. What are their options within the room? I think if you're going to take a rather more exciting approach maybe for the fan base, you roll maybe a Tate Reynolds or a Chris Denson who, in terms of mechanically, may not be totally ready, but physically they're going to wow you with a lot of traits. But Vezina probably is your best bet as the most complete quarterback in that room. But to kind of circle back to your texter's question, it's like classic NFL debate. Do you build the rest of the roster first and then worry about the quarterback later, or do you get that stud franchise guy and then worry about the rest of the pieces later? We've seen it work both ways. And so for Michigan, I think we can all agree, and the NFL has kind of proven this, is that they had a very average quarterback at the position, and they had the talent around him to succeed. I think Clemson's in the space where they need both, if that makes sense, where I think they need a quarterback that's widely improved to kind of maybe be a year holdover while some of your more talented backups toe the line. But also, it wouldn't hurt to get an extra receiver. Wouldn't hurt to rebuild some pieces, maybe in the secondary to replace a Terrell if you don't believe certain guys are ready. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts, but I think that there's going to be multiple approaches that Clemson can take this offseason to improve this roster.
Grayson, let's talk National Signing Day as we continue to visit with Grayson Mann from TigerNet, TigerNet Thursdays. I know you get an opportunity to cultivate some relationships with some of these young student-athletes and, you know, really cover the high school ranks, and you guys do a great job over there on TigerNet with it. What's your kind of takeaway from Clemson's haul? I mean, and I got to give credit where it's due. Tyler Grisham is on a freaking heater on the recruiting trail. This feels like three straight classes where he's come away with some dogs at wide receiver. And between Burroughs, Sellers, and Salmon, I'm really liking what Clemson's put together at the wide receiver core in this class.
Yeah, I think Clemson has an opportunity with Burroughs to be an instant impact player. He's going to be a guy that we as a media beat are going to talk about extensively for the next several months. And it's going to become a Wesco Moore situation where if he's not on the field, there's going to be some fuel to the fire, certainly, within this fan base. Just watching these three players on tape, I think all of them have an opportunity to contribute early. There's some uncertainty with Bryant Wesco and TJ Moore. Obviously, you'd like him to stay, but these contracts aren't a four-year deal. So you have to reevaluate, re-sign, and get these guys secured in the offseason. So these receivers coming in have an opportunity to make an impact, and I think they certainly can. Burroughs excites me as a guy that can kind of play both within the slot and on the boundary. And Salmon, I'm going to say this, Faxon, I haven't seen speed like that. And Grisham's done a really unique thing of getting track athletes to come in and make an impact. I do think that there's an opportunity for this group to be as impactful as some of the classes you've mentioned. And he just got a four-star commit this morning. So Tyler Grisham, man, talk about earning your keep with this coaching staff. He's been on fire.
Yeah, he's done a phenomenal job recruiting. 654 Roar is the number if you want to get in with us. Phone lines, Adams Co Roofing text line remain open throughout the remainder of the program today. Grayson, let's shift gears. Let's talk basketball and a little bit of propaganda as well on your way out the door. You were in the building last night at Coleman Coliseum. Can you confirm that I'm not just gaslighting the audience to say that it was like a very underwhelming environment first and foremost before we get into the game? Because I had really big expectations, and I was really let down by what Alabama's crowd brought to the arena last night.
Yeah, and I had a couple people text me asking, is it empty in there? Because that tip-off I was expecting, okay, Clemson's in town. This is certainly a group that Alabama fans are familiar with. Nick Saban was in the building, and there was not really one singular roar to the greatest head coach in college football history being within the proximity of a lot of diehard Alabama fans. Not a peep. And sure, as the game progressed, I thought the crowd got more into it. But early on, I didn't really feel like that was the tough test that Brownell had envisioned. Second half was good, especially as that game picked up in quality and was more back and forth as compared to the first half blowout. But I wasn't necessarily like, wow, this is a top environment. This is like Cameron Indoor. I would say Little John at its best blows that place out of the water.
Yeah. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. Grayson, let's talk about the game and let's talk hoops for a minute. What were your takeaways from last night? Me personally, I walked away from Coleman Coliseum feeling a lot better about this Clemson team than I did walking into the building. Rough first half, but a lot of things to like in the second half and some big-time growth for some of the younger Clemson players. Also, Nick Davidson's best game of his Clemson career as a player.
Yeah, I came away. Let's start with Davidson. I really felt like for the first nine-ish games of the season that Clemson's top transfer addition is underwhelmed. And whether that's just finding comfort or there's some other factors there with Davidson, last night he looked like a totally different player in that second half, really imposing his will by the post and taking advantage of a lot of smaller matchups. And you felt like he was a little bit more assertive out there, and the sidelines certainly were really responded to it. The bench erupted when he was making big plays. You could tell they truly love this guy, and it was just a matter of time before he came alive. I think that's maybe a catalyst point for him, where that starts to be a dangerous option for Clemson and only makes this group better. But yeah, that first half, I describe it as a catastrophe into a classic, where Clemson felt like they weren't even on the floor. It felt unsettled. It felt uneasy. There were a lot of instances where the game plan in the MO for Bama is they're going to shoot the absolute you-know-what out of the three-point ball. And Clemson kept dropping in coverage off switches for some reason, and Bama was just taking open looks and draining them. I think they were 6-for-6 initially and had made 7 three-pointers before Clemson even drained one. And so that was just kind of the stat of the first half for me. But once in the back of my mind, and I think this is kind of maybe something you'll agree with, Clemson's depth certainly wore Alabama down. They looked pretty gassed by the end of that first half, and once Clemson was able to get their feet under them, it felt like they were back and forth. They certainly had the game in their hands late in that second half. So if you're a Tiger fan and you're really uncertain about this roster, I think you came into that game wanting to belong. You did, and you have some confidence moving forward that if Clemson can get out of non-conference without a few more bumps and bruises, they're going to be a tournament team.
Yeah, I think Clemson has a really good chance to be a tournament team as we're starting to wrap things up with Grayson Mann here on TigerNet Thursdays. Grayson, obviously it goes without saying that there's a big test on the horizon for the Tigers against BYU in Madison Square Garden next Tuesday. But on the women's basketball front, there's a big one tonight in Coleman Coliseum, a back-to-back against Bama, if you will. And Sean Poppy and the Lady Tigers are looking to avenge Brad Brownell on the men's side. Any thoughts on the game tonight and how Coach Poppy's Lady Tigers could fare?
I feel like they came out of that Bahamas trip feeling a little bit more cohesive and took a Michigan State team that was seemingly dominating everybody and kept them in check defensively. It felt like it's a group that's starting to kind of figure things out, and this is going to be another massive non-conference test for Poppy's group where you're starting to see the vision of this is certainly a better group than last year that start to materialize. You've seen it a little bit on the floor in games that I've been to, and I think in Louisville that's still an opportunity that has slipped by them where that one felt like that was theirs to claim and just didn't happen. So start quick tonight. I think the three ball is looking a lot better for this group. Some of the players on this roster are looking a lot more comfortable. And I think that's going to be just translated on the court tonight in the Coleman Coliseum.
Yeah, that is for certain. Grayson, before we let you get out of here, I have to give you a chance to spread some Drake May propaganda. Unfortunately, your Pats are the hottest team in football. Go ahead and brag on your boys because you guys are having a great year.
Unfortunately, I think it's awesome. This group's won 10 straight, but got to stay healthy. That's going to be the name of the game, and New England's got an opportunity. I know people would like to knock the schedule as a fair criticism, and I do think to an extent it's fair, but New England's blowing out a lot of these teams and taking care of business, and if New England is the one seed in the AFC, I think that you got to give the MVP to Drake May. I know Stafford's story, the way he's been playing this year, is absolutely incredible, but I think the turnaround to New England's been a dumpster fire for the last several years, and that's including some of the Belichick years. And for the way that Mike Vrabel and this group have been able to quickly turn this around, I think it encapsulates with Drake May holding an MVP trophy somewhere and hosting playoff games in Gillette Stadium. Faxon, I don't deserve this. I'm spoiled, but I'm just along for the ride, man. I'm a happy guy.
Congratulations, Grayson. Your Pats have been killing it this year. Appreciate the great work you do on the program as always, and I'm sure I'll see you soon, brother. A lot of exciting opportunities on the horizon in the world of hoops and more, and we still got to find out where Clemson's playing in a bowl game as well, so a lot to look forward to.
Hey, God bless you, brother. Take care tonight in Alabama. Good luck to you walking the call.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you, Grayson. That is Grayson Mann with TigerNet here on TigerNet Thursdays. You're listening to Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Before we take a quick break, I want to tell you about our good friend Morgan Coleman. For all of your upstate needs in the upstate, you need to go with Morgan Coleman. It's the winter market kicking off, and it's important to get ahead of things, whether you're a buyer or you're a seller. Celebrating big real estate wins, talking Clemson athletics, those are two things Morgan Coleman loves to do. And luckily for you, it's very easy and simplistic to get in contact with her. Four words on Google: Morgan Coleman Real Estate. A Clemson women's soccer alum that has lived in the upstate her entire life. She's an expert and has an intricate understanding of the area for all of your real estate needs here in the upstate of South Carolina, especially if you're in that Greenville area, which I know a ton of our listeners are. Go with Morgan Coleman. Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. And we appreciate Morgan Coleman and all she does in the community here in the upstate. Quick break here on the show. More after this with Faxon and John.
Upstate Cycling Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Come check out our kids' ATVs and dirt bikes. We also have bikes for riders who are still kids at heart, ranging from entry level all the way to off-road racing, dual sport, and adventure riding. We carry brands like Beta, Cove, SSR, and many more. Delivery is available, and don't forget to ask about layaway plan. Mention the Roar FM to receive $50 off our best price. Call 864-232-7223 for more info today.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
This year, we have plenty to celebrate. From reuniting with loved ones, to welcoming new family members, from rediscovering the great outdoors, to perfecting Let's Stay In. At Ingles, we're so proud to play a part in your everyday adventures and all your celebrations. So here's to taking a pause and taking it all in. Merry Christmas. From Ingles.
The holiday season is here, and Elkmont is counting the days to Christmas with a special sales offering for each of the 24 days of Christmas. Items will be added daily and posted on Elkmont's Facebook and Instagram pages. Elkmont has all the brands you love, like On Clouds, Birkenstock, Extra Tough, Patagonia, Z Supply, Filson, Columbia, Maui Jims, Costa, and so much more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
At Estes Heating and Air, family means everything. As a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years, we know the value of trust, care, and keeping your home comfortable year-round. From routine maintenance to emergency repairs, we treat every customer like one of our own. Because when you call Estes, you're not just another service stop, you're part of our family. Schedule your next service today at estesheatingair.com. Estes Heating and Air, family-owned, community-trusted.
Before you break ground on that exciting project, here's a friendly reminder from Fort Hill Natural Gas. Safety first. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law and it's free. Whether you're planting a garden or installing that dream patio, make sure to dial 811. Your ticket to a safe and worry-free project. Fort Hill Natural Gas supports and recognizes safe digging practices. Your safety is their priority. Dig smart, dig safe. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Fort Hill Natural Gas, where safety meets satisfaction.
Are you in the market for an auto loan? Move now. Get an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union by December 31st for the chance to win up to $25,000 towards your qualifying loan and a $5,000 deposit into your Loyalty Select account. And the best part? They'll be choosing monthly winners. So the earlier you get an auto loan, the more chances you have to win. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
East Main Furniture in East League pre-Black Friday sale is going on now. Save 30% on all in-stock furniture, including Lazy Boy recliners. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, mattresses, and occasional furniture. This is the best sale of the year. You don't want to miss out on the lowest prices of the year. Hurry in for the best selection. Special ordered furniture will have some discount as well. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, East League, or call 864-442-6054 today.
This Tuesday night, the Clemson Tigers are headed up to New York City as they play the BYU Cougars in the 2025 Jimmy V Classic in Madison Square Garden. BYU is one of the most talented teams in the country, and the Tigers look to make a big statement with a win. Broadcast begins at 6 p.m. with 6:30 being tipped. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Santa's favorite sports station? That's easy. 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
About half an hour left in the program here on a Thursday with Fax and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Hey, folks, did you know that 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If water, moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it could be damaging your home and damaging your health. Crawl Space Medic of Upstate, locally owned by a Clemson Engineering alum, offers honest, certified evaluations that you can trust. They specialize in crawl space encapsulation, structural repairs, basement waterproofing, vapor barriers, sump pumps, and more. Call Crawl Space Medic Upstate if you're buying or selling a home, if you're a realtor needing a crawl space inspection, if you're concerned about your crawl space, if you haven't had a crawl space inspection in years or ever, or if you're experiencing health issues. Protecting your home and family from the dangers of moisture and mold are their top priority. 100 plus years of combined experience, free inspection and estimate, fair and honest pricing, financing available, trusted by realtors, and photo documented inspection reports. No gimmicks, no upselling, just clear answers and long lasting repairs from a team of fellow Tigers at Crawl Space Medic Upstate. Give them a call today at 864-479-6208. That is 864-479-6208. Very appreciative for the folks at Crawl Space Medic Upstate. All right, John, let's hop right back into the action. 654 Roar is the number. Do want to talk a little bit of picks before we get out of here, because our deadline is today, if I'm not mistaken, on this Pick'em contest. Have you submitted your picks, John?
I submitted my picks.
It's Thursday
afternoon.
Thursday at noon Eastern, right? Is that the deadline? So I got to get... Okay, hold on.
Okay. You have some work to do.
I got to get these in. I got to get these in for sure. Let's take a couple more texts, and then we'll get into some conference championship game talk. Texter gets in, Trip from Buford. Lost in all the quarterback talk, rather. Aren't we really light at running back? Aren't Davidson and Easy Amume really it? Both lightly touted, but they really haven't shown anything in their play so far in college. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of the primary person that was pumping the brakes on the Gideon Davidson train when people were like, oh, we have a converted receiver at running back. Well, he's a lot better than the actual running back, was what I said all year, and it continued to showcase to be the truth. To be honest with you, Tripp, I'm concerned about the running back spot. I would say this. don't discount the inclusion of Jay Haynes in this room and his return. It's a guy that I think has showcased a lot of upside throughout the course of his career, and he's got a different profile than a lot of the backs that currently exist in the room. So I would say the addition of Jay Haynes and then the potential of a couple of these guys coming back as well could round it out to be a pretty solid little running back room. I would like to be in the portal for a running back. That is me personally. It'll be interesting to see if the staff agrees or disagrees with me. And then again, it'll be a conversation that has to be had about who are you going to lose. Does Gid hop in the portal? Does Eazy-E hop in the portal? Does Keith Adams Jr. hop in the portal? Does Jay Haynes want a fresh change of scenery? These are all things that are unknown in real time. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires. But I think that Clemson has a need and a hole at running back. And I think that Randall was by far and away your most productive player at that spot this year. And to be honest, Davidson was a little bit disappointing based on how highly touted he was coming into the year. John, your thoughts?
I'm glad that you mentioned Jay Haynes' name. That is somebody that I think has, kind of fallen out of top-of-the-line memory for a lot of Clemson fans since it's been so long since we've seen him play. But I do believe that had he been healthy for this season, it would have been a 1-2 punch with Randall and him while you were trying to incorporate the true and the redshirt freshman. So I think he is definitely someone who is going to factor in the conversation for next year. But I tend to be in agreement. I'd like to go get an upperclassman out of the portal. But in terms of like who that would be, I am not sure. You know, in terms of like naming names for guys you want from the portal, well, it's like we talked about earlier in hour number two when it comes to the quarterbacks. We need to see who the available people are before we just go ahead and assume that, you know, we're going to go and acquire one.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. 654 Roar if you want to check in. John, let's hit a hard right turn so I can get my picks in and don't get yelled at by upper management. We have our pickup contest for Conference Championship Week, and Conference Championship games start tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a really exciting time, obviously, for a lot of people. Wish Clemson was playing in the Conference Championship. It goes without saying. I'll just go ahead and get in front of the text that Clemson is indeed not playing in the Conference Championship this year. But there are some really exciting games on the horizon nonetheless, the first of which in our contest, John, is this is still so crazy to me. I'm sorry. I have to bring this up every time because this is the most mind-boggling thing ever to me. Little old Kennesaw State, that was nothing more than a commuter school that didn't even have athletics when I was growing up. Like, seriously, if you are a Metro Atlanta native or you're at least, like, tapped in with the area enough, this has to be the most mind-boggling thing to you ever as well. Kennesaw State is playing for a conference championship in FBS D1 football. This is mind-boggling to me. So, of course, I'm pulling for and picking the Owls. Hootie-hoo, baby. Give me Kennesaw State minus the 1.5 against Jacksonville State. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've tapped in overly to Conference USA football this year because it's the worst conference in FBS football. But I'm rooting for my Owls here, John. Hootie-hoo.
I'm in agreement with you. I took Kennesaw State here. I think it's just kind of a fun story. You know, once they really settled in on Odom at quarterback, it's really been a much different offense there. I'm impressed at how well they run the ball. Not surprising that their head coach is a NFL running back coach, excuse me. And I also think that this is a good spot for Kennesaw State because they just went down there a couple weeks ago and they lost by 9, but they fought very valiantly in that game at Jacksonville State, so the environment's not going to be something that's new and overwhelming. The opponent is not new and overwhelming. That was, I thought, a pretty decent showing by them a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I feel good about the spot, and you're right. It's such a fun story. You'd be kind of crazy not to fall in line with it.
Yeah, you got to root for Kennesaw State this upcoming weekend. Unless you're a Jacksonville State fan or you got family ties, I understand. But if you're a neutral, I implore you to root for Kennesaw State. What a story there. Hootie-hoo. Going for the Owls.
And it's not easy for Clemson fans to say go Gamecocks, right? So it's a lot easier to just pull for Kennesaw State than Jacksonville State.
Exactly. If you need any additional ammo or excuse to root against a Gamecock, you should be rooting for the Owls in Kennesaw State this weekend. I love the way you framed that, John. That's actually pretty funny. Next game up in our contest is one... Troy and James Madison has college football playoff implications. What on planet Earth?
I thought we were only allowed to talk about Troy when we were saying negative things about the Clemson football program.
Oh, no, this is actually a good football team, John. 8-4 on the season with one of those losses coming to Clemson for the Troy Trojans. Very well-coached football team. Bridgeforth Stadium, the venue in Harrisonburg, Virginia. James Madison's 11-1. They're the number 25 team in the country. This is the Sun Belt Championship, and the line we are playing in our contest is JMU minus the 22.5. Is JMU vastly leaps and bounds better than Troy on paper? Yes, they are. I am playing Troy plus the 22.5 because I do think there's something to be said about the emotions of a winner-take-all conference championship game. I am also going out there on the limb and risking them getting blown out in this game, and I'm more than willing to acknowledge that. But again, it's conference championship week in the Pick'em, and to be frank, I don't care enough about the Pick'em to not take risks. It's a free contest. I'm not going to go with the masses here. I'm going to take Troy plus the 22.5 and hope that they lose by 21 or less. Give me 42-21 JMU, and that gets me home with the cover here for the Trojans.
I'm in full agreement with you. I took Troy as well. I love this JMU team and what Bob Chesney has done. Excited to see him out at UCLA next year, but it's 22.5 points. You mean to tell me the home team can win by 3 touchdowns and I'm still in the clear? Yeah, I took Troy.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, give me like a little 42-21 action. Maybe we get like a 35-20. You lose by 15. That gets me home there. It's just a lot of points for a conference championship game, and it's a lot of points for a winner-take-all game. Next game up on the contest is the Battle of the Fleeing Coaches, is what I would deem it. We've got Tulane in North Texas in the American Championship game at Yeoman Stadium in New Orleans. John, I took North Texas. For me, I just really like watching Drew Mestemaker play. I love their quarterback. I love their offense. And I think that Tulane has gotten a couple fortunate results this year, and they might not be as great as that record indicates, but again, they do have that Louisiana advantage that has to be accounted for.
You know, fun fact, we actually technically get this matchup twice this weekend. We have the actual North Texas versus Tulane game Friday night. And in the ACC Championship, we have former Tulane quarterback Darian Mensa go up against former North Texas quarterback and Chandler Morris with the Virginia Cavaliers.
How about that?
Yeah, it's so crazy. Oh, my gosh, we lost our quarterbacks to the portal. Oh, wait, we're still here in the conference title game. Neat. It's just, you know, that's what G5 football is nowadays. I went with North Texas as well. In this game, I just decided to go with the team with the much better offense. I think that they, I mean, this is the best offense in the country, depending on, you know, what metric you're looking at. Yeah, I took North Texas here. I think this is going to be a very good game, though, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on ABC.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this one, to be honest with you. It's one of the most excited I've been to watch a G5 conference championship game in ages. I love watching Mestemaker play. Love watching that North Texas team play. They're absolutely showtime. Next game up in our contest is UNLV and Boise State. Boise State, a 3.5-point favorite in our contest. Albertson Stadium in Boise, Idaho. It's the 10-2 Rebels against the 8-4 Broncos. I took Boise State here, but I think UNLV deserves a lot of credit for what former Virginia quarterback Anthony Calandria and the rest of the crew have done at UNLV. Dan Mullen's first year has been an immense success for the Rebels. I think that comes to a screeching halt here. And to be honest with you, John, this is a stage game for me. And what I mean by that is Boise State's been on the stage. They have played in the moment. They have played in a ton of big games these last couple of seasons. And I think back to this matchup last year where I was really convinced that the go-go offense with Marion was going to be able to take down Boise State and thwart their chances of making the college football playoff, and I fell flat on my face. I'm not making that mistake again this year. Give me the Broncos to run the ball, assert their physicality and dominance up front, and I think they covered that 3.5-point spread.
For me, I went with Boise in this one as well, and it's not a football reason. So you know where UNLV plays their games, right? In Allegiant Stadium, in the home of the Raiders, in indoor climate-controlled environment. This game is at Boise. At night, tomorrow night, it is going to be 39 degrees with rain and 15-mile-an-hour winds. Give me Boise, who knows how to handle the environments, versus the team from indoors.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I didn't realize what the weather report had looked like out there in this great state of Idaho this upcoming weekend, but that makes me feel a lot more confident in my Boise pick. And I also just think they're the more physical football team. They're better at running the ball. They're going to be able to impose their will physically up front. I like Boise State in this one. Next game up in the contest, before we take a quick break, we'll do the back half of the contest, and then we'll get into some more general college football talk in the final segment of the program. BYU and Texas Tech. We're getting 13.5 is the line in our contest. The number 4 Red Raiders against the number 11 Cougars, just like we all predicted in the preseason, right? Satake has done a great job at BYU. It's going to be interesting to see what transpires in this one, but I think it's going to be Texas Tech large, personally. I took TTU with the points, Sean.
I did as well. I think that they're going to kind of shut down this BYU offense early in the first quarter and the first half, which is what Texas Tech has done throughout the year. You know, they get a nice 14-17-point lead, and then they'll kind of sit on it. I think that's kind of the case here. I think the Texas Tech defense is going to be, once again, a problem for this BYU offense and Bear Bachmeyer. It's been a great season for both of these teams, but I don't believe that we are going to get the – technically, I guess if BYU loses, that invites more chaos into the college football playoff for this weekend. So, yeah, give me Texas Tech here. I think their lines of scrimmage are just too good.
Man, Joey McGuire's done such a good job, and it is the lines of scrimmage, man. They're so good up front on both sides of the ball. It makes your life so much easier. Let's breeze through this one because I don't think there's a ton of intrigue in Miami of Ohio and Western Michigan. To be honest with you, John, I looked at some of the numbers here. I tried to have an educated pick to some certain extent. I don't know a ton about the MAC this year. I haven't watched a ton of MAC football, but I do know that Western Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, has this running quarterback in Lowry that is really, really good on the ground. I took them to take care of business at Ford Field. They're from Michigan. Maybe there's something to go on there. This was a coin flip one for me that I don't feel super convicted in either way.
Western Michigan has been on a tear in MAC play, except for the one time they played Miami of Ohio. They went to their building, lost 26-17 earlier on in the season. But I went with Western Michigan here because in that game, Miami of Ohio had their quarterback. Daquan Finn has left the team a couple weeks ago to go start training for the NFL, which with his 1,400 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions, he decided that was enough. I'm good. Losing the job to Sawyer Robertson, I guess, was enough tape for him at the power level. So I guess he thinks he has a professional career here. I think it's lunacy. I don't like Miami with a backup quarterback here. Although Chuck Martin, all he does is win football games. That guy is a darn good football coach.
Yeah, he is.
I like him a ton, but I tend to agree with you. I think the dual threat of Lowry is going to be too much for Miami of Ohio. Give me Western Michigan.
We're going to take a quick break here on the program. We're going to give our final 3 picks. John, we're aligned so far this week. This is a do-or-die week for our time slot with the way that things are shaping up. We've got the Dogs and the Crimson Tide, the Buckeyes and the Hoosiers, and the Blue Devils and the Hoos. We're going to preview those matchups on the other side of a quick break. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in with Faxon and John.
Combining great golf along with delicious dining, Chickasaw Point in Westminster, South Carolina awaits you. The golf course, one of the upstate's hidden gems, offers numerous elevation changes, sheltered fairways, and beautiful ponds. Overlook Restaurant and Bar, open Thursday through Sunday, features lunch and dinner selections from executive chef Amanda Lewis. Along with numerous options for meetings and events, ChickasawPoint.com for Overlook and ChickasawPointGolf.com to play golf. Chickasaw Point.
When your motors stop, your production does too. That's why companies like EMCOR rely on Industrial Motor Service.
Excellent customer service and highly knowledgeable staff. Taylor and the team are extremely quick to respond with solutions. I highly recommend Industrial Motor Service for all your motor needs.
When your business depends on reliable motors and fast repairs, count on the team trusted by industry pros for decades, Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com to learn more. Industrial Motor Service. Keeping your business moving.
As the weather gets colder and sports now moves to games on hardwood floors, gridirons, and more. At Straight Up Sports, we will keep the full court press on with weekly series from legendary writers Bob Gillespie and Scott Kiefer, plus input from Mark Sturgis and more. You'll get that story written like days gone by. There's also new links and videos added to the site every week as well. You can catch this all-star lineup at Straight Up Sports on Facebook or online at straightupsports.net.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantyconfixit.com.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties. The NBA and college basketball are back, and they are in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. The next few days is the best time because it's Feast Week again on Underdog. So from November 26th to November 30th, you can check the app daily for special promos. Playing on Underdog is a cinch. You just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, assists. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I love playing Underdog every single night. College basketball, NBA, sometimes both. It is absolutely the best way to enjoy a night of sports. Right now, here's what you do. Download the app. Use promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/plan. Get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Leaning trees or branches hanging too close to your home? Even a small shift could mean big trouble when storms hit. At Franklin Tree Service, they believe in taking a proactive approach. Their expert team can assess your trees, remove any potential hazards, and prevent future damage before it's too late. Whether it's removing leaning trees, trimming overhanging limbs, or thinning out your yard, Franklin Tree Service keeps your property safe year-round, fully insured and committed to top-quality work. Call today, 864-947-9065.
Embrace the horizon at Longview, Carolina, your private agri-hood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Home sites average over an acre, giving you the opportunity to own a piece of your very own mountain. With 50-mile panoramic views, a stone's throw from Easley, and a short drive from Clemson and Greenville, Longview, Carolina is your gateway to resilient living. Explore a life unbound. Visit LongviewCarolina.com for your personal tour. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
Get ready for the City of Malden's annual Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m., brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. It all kicks off at the Golden Strip Career Center, rolls down Holland Road, and wraps up at Bridgeway Station. Enjoy marching bands, ROTC cadets, fire trucks, floats, a rolling car show, and plenty more. For the best view, grab your spot anywhere along Holland Road. Celebrate a season of joy presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day. Kick it!
Final segment of the show here on a Thursday with Vax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co. Roofing text line will remain open if you'd like to beat the buzzer. We're going to go around the horn after we finish up our pick 'em contest because I need to make sure I beat the deadline and don't get yelled at before upper management gets in with this deadline for our pick 'em picks. John, Alabama UGA is the next game on the itinerary. I'm taking the dogs minus the 2.5, and I know where you're going to stand on this because we talked about it a little bit off the air, and we also talked about it earlier in the week. I just want to say I cannot argue with your logic, and I know that I am going against the grain here. By picking Georgia to win a game, playing with Kirby Smart as their coach against Alabama, there seems to be some mental block here, and I assume that's where you're going with this. And I just want to tell you, I don't disagree with your logic, and I'm probably going to take an L in this one.
Give me Big Brother. I'm taking Alabama.
Yeah, this is a big bro, little bro thing, man. It is. And Kirby, what is Kirby now 1-7? Is it 1-7 or 1-8 against Alabama all the time in his career?
1-7 going into the game earlier this season, so I think they're 1-8 now. Now, granted, was a national championship game, but they won a national title, so it was a very good one, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, no, big bro gonna big bro. Give me Alabama here.
I took the dogs. I'm hoping that Georgia can have a better offensive showing than they did last week. Ty Simpson's got to play a little bit better for Bama. He's hit a little bit of a hiccup these last couple of weeks, but he did make that big-time throw on fourth down with Kalen DeBoer gambling in the Iron Bowl, and then Cam Coleman's fumble, and the rest is history there for the Crimson Tide. It'll be interesting to see if Bama can confirm their ticket will be punched to the college football playoff. I know there's a contingent of SEC fans, whether it be Texas fans or Vandy fans, that want them to drop out with a loss. I don't think that the committee would do that, but who knows, John? I mean, it is a really, really weird college football playoff world that we live in as far as selection goes. But then again, this is the Bama brand and the Bama bump, right? You have to imagine they're locked into this sucker at this point, yeah?
It seems that way, barring a blowout loss or something like that. I would think they're going to be in.
I would agree with that as well. The next one up is the Hoosiers and the Buckeyes. Man, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, it's going to be jumping like Jordan in 96. Indiana in the Big Ten championship game as the number two team in the country in 12-0. Ohio State, they rolled the ball out and won all their games again. Julian Sain had a really good year. Bo Jackson, not that Bo Jackson, but Ohio State's Bo Jackson, he had a really good year. Tate and Smith are back for Ohio State. The Buckeyes are a four-point favorite in this one. We're actually playing 5.5 in our contest, so if you're on Indiana, you're getting some good closing line value there. I'm getting the short end of the stick because I took Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes can win this one by a touchdown, 27-20. But again, I'll likely be rooting for Indiana. I mean, what a story. What a coach. What a program. What a quarterback. I'm rooting for the Hoosiers big time in this one.
Rooting for the Hoosiers big time in this one as well. Picking the Hoosiers. I think 5.5 is a lot of points. I do think Ohio State wins, but I think this is a field goal game, so I'm going to take the points where I can get them.
Yeah, I like that for sure. And then the last game in our contest, this lines up to 4 in real life. I took Duke plus the 2.5. Again, this is a gut punch play. Logically, the side is Virginia. These two teams clashed 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Virginia dominated. Jamari Taylor was able to assert his dominance in the ground game. Morris was still a little bit dinged up, but he still played super well. They stifled Duke on the ground game. Virginia won this game up front, and you're probably thinking at home, Faxon, you're going against all the logic you use to usually evaluate games. What in the world are you doing? I don't know. I may have lost my mind. I want to root for Darian Mensah, to be completely candid. I hope he puts on a show. Give me the Blue Devils in this one, and I hope we get a ton of points up in Charlotte, and it's a fun game.
Are you going?
I think I'm going to go, yeah.
Nice. That'll be a good time. I took Duke from the points. I don't love it. I'll be pulling for Virginia, rooting for Virginia here in this one. But I just feel like that would be the perfect cherry on top to a complete and topsy-turvy, make-no-sense ACC football season that a 7-5 team would be your conference champ.
That's part of my logic and read as well, John, is the ACC has been so stupid this year that what better way than 7-5 Duke with a loss to UConn on their resume, winning a conference championship game against a team that dominated him 2 weeks ago. That would just be the perfect ending to this ACC season that has been a mess from start to finish, to say the least. 654 Roar, if you want to get in with us and if you want to beat the buzzer here on the program. John, we got a lot of stuff on the television tonight. We've also got a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. Where would you like to go with about 7 minutes remaining in the program?
Well, I would like for you to give us a little bit of a rundown of what we're going to expect with a 6:45 pregame and a 7 o'clock tip
like
tonight
it.
Down there in Alabama. But, yeah, I'm going to say this. I have more interest tonight in Clemson women's basketball than I do the Dallas Cowboys.
I love that. So do I. We share that in common. So
well,
let's
you
go
better.
Out.
You're on the call.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. And Clemson women's basketball in general is very high on my priority list. But
it's the Dallas Cowboys. Who cares?
It is, and they're very low on my priority list. Gosh. And you know what sucks about this is we're going to have to field 18 Dallas Cowboy phone calls tomorrow if they win, aren't we?
Well, we don't have to put them on the air, Faxon. We can let Scott and all his friends call in. I don't have to put them on the air.
Are we just going to keep them on hold? Is that what the move is?
I tune in tomorrow to find out. 654 yeah. Roar, Cowboys fans, if you want to attempt to get in tomorrow.
Here's a little mini women's basketball preview before we do a mini Thursday night football preview, and we'll get out of here. Women's basketball is at Alabama tonight. Sean Poppy's Tigers are 5-3, 0-1 in ACC play. The Alabama Crimson Tide are still undefeated on the season. They're checking into this one with a really, really impressive 8-0 record. Christy Curry's done a really good job at the helm of this program. They're coming off a sweep in the Bahamas in which they beat Minnesota and Kennesaw State. They also beat Harvard as well in recent memory, who's a really, really good team in women's basketball. John, Harvard women's basketball is legit. So they're stamped. Bama's a really good team. I think Clemson's got a chance tonight. I feel confident in this coaching staff. I feel confident in the game plan that's been instilled throughout the course of this week. I think the girls are feeling good. You're getting back from the Bahamas. You finally gotten some of the travel miscues that happened in the Bahamas out of the way. Big shout out to our Dobo, Courtney Etheridge. She did a phenomenal job rerouting 42 people back from Nassau, Bahamas on the same day to get back to Tigertown after flight cancellations and more. So shout out to Court. Court's the GOAT. Everybody with women's basketball knows that. But tonight's a big night for the Tigers, Sean. And to be honest, Clemson's just got to shoot the three ball better and defend the three ball better. Those are the two things that jump off the page to me right now. They're defending the three ball at one of the worst rates in the country. Opposing teams are shooting 38.8% from three against Clemson, and Clemson is shooting 33% from three, which is 97th in the country. That is the number one thing that Clemson needs to improve on, as well as free throw shooting, where the Tigers are 60.7% on the season, which is 341st in the country, rather. But I think Clemson's got a chance to get a signature win tonight in the ACC-SEC Challenge, and I think it's going to be a really fun one tonight with William Quackenbush and myself on the call.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing y'all bring us home a win.
Need to bring home a win from Tuscaloosa. We can't go 0-2 in Tuscaloosa. We just can't have that happening.
No, we can't. Real quick before we get into those Dallas Cowboys, we have a bowl announcement that has been made. We have a bowl pairing, a bowl matchup that has been ironed out earlier this morning. Brett McMurphy reported from On3 that the new Frisco Bowl, which is replacing, unfortunately, the now-defunct Bahamas Bowl, which I hate. I love the Bahamas Bowl. We're going to have Arkansas State and newcomer to FBS football, Missouri State, playing in the new bowl game there in Frisco, Texas. So, little Butch Jones versus Missouri State. Only 40 more matchups left to be decided.
Yeah, that's... Well, listen, we're going to have to break down all these games, right? So we might as well get ahead of
you better
of
believe we're
going to
break them all down. You better believe it. Absolutely. I still like bowl games. So
we're going to have our bowl mania and our bowl contest too, right? Is that how we run things around here, if I'm remembering right?
I haven't heard anything other than that, so we'll have to stay tuned to find out. Okay, we got a couple minutes left here. Thursday night football, Dallas Cowboys at the Detroit Lions. Detroit is a three-point favorite at home. Tickets for as low as $152 if you're in the Detroit area and you want to try to get in to see this one. Who do you like in this one? Because I'm going with the Lions at home. I don't love this Cowboys defense. I think it's fine. It's not elite. I think this is going to be a big night for Jahmyr Gibbs. Obviously, the big question, though, is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So Dallas is 4-1-1 at home and 2-4 away from home this year. That's the thing that jumps off the page to me. And then the Lions, on the inverse, they're 3-3 away from home, but they're 4-2 holding down the fort on home field advantage. I think I'm leaning towards the Detroit Lions tonight. But I'm conflicted because Dallas, listen, I don't think very highly of the Eagles, and clearly the Chiefs are not very great right now either in comparison to what their standard is. But I do think Dallas deserves a ton of credit for, they're facing their season in the balance pretty much every week right now with their record and what the playoff picture would indicate. And they have gone toe-to-toe with the two teams that represented their conferences in the Super Bowl back-to-back weeks, and they've won two really tough games. I'm not ruling the Cowboys out. I think this is going to be a close and competitive football game. I think I'm leaning towards the Lions close, but to be honest with you, John, I'm not touching this one with the 10-foot pole as far as a play or a pick goes. Give me the Lions 27-24 gun to head, but this is going to be a coin flip to me. I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched. I lean towards Detroit at home, and because Detroit has the significantly better run game.
Yeah, that's kind of my reasoning there as well. I just think that, Gibbs and company back there, I think that this team, this Detroit Lions offense, now I don't think they can manage it for a long period of time, but I think they can get through tonight without Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is going to be an intriguing element of this one, John, to monitor, is whether Amon-Ra St. Brown's absence majorly impacts this team. We saw Jameson Williams start to step into some of that route tree that we typically see Amon-Ra in last week, and he excelled in that role, but again, it's just different because when you don't have Amon-Ra on the field, that means J-Mo can't be your field stretcher, and that's part of what makes this offense so effective is these timing routes on these deep digs where Goff can drive the ball over the middle. With the absence of St. Brown, it's going to be interesting to see how they try and balance that. That's a really good point. What I do know is I'm excited to watch Jahmyr Gibbs play football because I think he is just phenomenal, man. I mean, one of the best backs in the league, and he is a treat to watch each and every week for this Detroit Lions group, John.
Oh, yeah, no, he's fantastic. He's sensational. I think you know, both running backs are going to put on a show tonight. I think Williams for Detroit, or for, excuse me, for Dallas, is going to give you a lot to be desired as well. I look forward to everybody getting in tomorrow to tell me what idiots the Steelers were for moving on from George Pickens and all the other Cowboys nonsense that happens the day after a Cowboys game on the Roar. 654 Roar tomorrow for you Cowboys fans who I will keep on hold and for Lions fans who want to get on the air.
John, I still stand with you on the Pickens thing. I think they're going to get caught in this Bengals East conversation where this is, or a Bengals NFC, I should say, where it's just this catch 22 of you're paying so many players. I stand with the Steelers there, so just know I'm rocking with you on that one, brother. Great job on the program today. Appreciate you, John. Again, 6:45 pregame tonight with a 7 p.m. tip-off. William Quackenbush and I have the call for Clemson women's basketball in the ACC-SEC Challenge against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Sean Poppy and the women are looking to get back in blood for what happened last night and the men's side of things here in Tuscaloosa. Engagement was great. Thank you to everybody that tuned into the program. Passing the baton off to William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead with Out of Bounds.
WCCPFM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5.